Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, many years ago, more years ago than I care to admit, when I first started in ministry, my wife and I both started working in ministry, in youth ministry, in two different churches, and we were living up in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and we were working in churches in the suburbs. We found ourselves often asking a very similar question, but from different angles, finding ourselves thinking, oh, I wish the other was here, because they're really good at this thing that I really am not good at. For example, I like to be organized and plan ahead. I was really good at planning things and being detailed, planning Bible studies or lesson plans for our youth, things like that. But I was really uncomfortable with being spontaneous and just kind of having things happen as they would happen. On the flip side, my wife, Gail, would take a lesson plan and kind of toss it aside and just could dive into deep conversations about faith and life with teenagers at the drop of a hat. I used to call her the question master because she knew just the exact question to ask a young person to get them to open up and share their heart. I worked with middle schoolers a lot. For example, if middle school girls would want to come and talk about feelings and emotions and the pressure to fit in, to look or be a certain way, I was kind of at a loss and thought, oh, I wish Gail was here. She would know exactly what to do right now. And on the flip side, if middle school guys wanted to start talking video games as a way to kind of relate and connect, I'm ready to go. And Gail would have to say, I care about you, but I don't understand the words that you're saying right now, right? Preschool chapel. It's always been a part of my ministry. It is here, and it has been for a long time. If you put me in the room with 30 preschoolers and a guitar, we're going to have fun for an hour, and it's going to be great. If you put my spouse in a room with 30 preschoolers and an instrument, you will see a full-on panic attack in the adult, and you will see a lot of small people with chaos running around the room. It's not a good fit. There were so many times we found ourselves wishing, oh, I wish they were here because their gifts are so different and complementary to mine. Why is that? Because God gives us different spiritual gifts. And as we continue on with our sermon series this fall called Do Ministry and Grow Spiritually, we've talked about what ministry is through the life of Jesus and his work. We've talked about how discipleship, following Jesus, comes with a cost. It is hard sometimes. And today we get to spiritual gifts. As we think about the huge role that these play when we think about how we are called to do ministry together, and how important this is. So I kind of just want to start this morning by setting the framework and asking the basic question when we're talking about this, what are spiritual gifts? This language is probably familiar to most of us on some level, but just kind of to be clear, I'd like to propose that when we talk about spiritual gifts, we're talking about something more than just what we happen to be good at. Right now, sometimes the things we're good at are spiritual gifts, but sometimes that's also different. There's things we just happen to be good at. But these are things that are the Holy Spirit specifically gives to you, to the community, to empower us to do ministry together in Jesus' name. For example, a distinction. I'm really good at eating a plate full of nachos. I'm so good at it that some would say it's a gift, but it's not a spiritual gift, right? I just happen to be really good at it. But what if you're really gifted in compassion or feeling empathy for others or prayer or hospitality or teaching or serving? These things might just be a spiritual gift, something that is given to you by the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And so that's kind of our framework. And then we look at how Paul talks about this today. He lays out this list of varied gifts in a few places. He talks about it in Corinthians and Ephesians, we heard today. Comes up also in Romans. So some of the things Paul lays out, right, are wisdom and knowledge, faith, that ability to trust in God is a gift of the Spirit. He talks about gifts of healing and the working of miracles. And then we have to roll with Paul because he gets a little Pentecostal for our Lutheran sensibilities here. He talks about the discernment of spirits and prophecy and speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues. Not that we can't do these things as Lutherans, but it's not our norm, right, maybe? But later he gets a little more Lutheran on us and he talks about leadership and teaching and forms of assistance, right? Do any of these things resonate with you when you hear Paul talk about them? In Corinthians, this is sort of an expansive list. He kind of goes on, but then in Ephesians, he brings it to us a little differently. He gives us a more distinct, kind of explicit list of just five things, almost categories, right? He talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, and evangelists. Now, these things kind of sound like a job description, but that's not what Paul is talking about here at all. He's talking about a range of gifts, a type of gifts that people gives to people, almost like a type of person or a personality to be able to do the things the church needs to do. And if you look at this, it's amazing. Within these five things, there's sort of a range and a balance of everything the church needs to do the work it's called to do. For example, on the one end, we think about apostles. What do apostles do? Apostles are the type of folks that are always going out onto the world, going out beyond what we already know and breaking new ground. Apostles in the Bible were the ones who planted churches, expanded the kingdom further and further, always pushing the new, pushing the envelope out into the world, right? And the church needs that to grow and to share the good news. But then if that's all we're doing, we're in trouble. So on the flip side, on the other end, we have pastors. Again, not a job description, but a type of gift, a type of person. I think when Paul talks about pastor, that gift, he's talking about that person who has a heart to care for someone, to notice when someone's hurting and in need and make sure the community is doing well and that people are doing well. When I think about Stephen ministry, that's those people are ones that have a gift of being pastoral. And then there's things in between, prophets, not predicting the future, but someone who really is in tune with God, knows the scripture and what the Spirit's doing and helps us discern where God's at in this. Or teachers, right? That's a little more obvious. Or evangelists, not preaching on the street corner, but someone who can get excited and share the good news of what's happening and bring others into that joy and excitement. And we see that the church needs all of these things. So as Paul lays this out, the question I would like to pose today is for us to consider, what are my spiritual gifts? What has God given me? Part of why this is so important to know these different gifts, to study them, and to be able to recognize them in yourself and others is so that we can be the church. And you it's also recognize it in others, because you may not know that this thing that you can do is a spiritual gift from God. For example, someone might be really gifted at, have you ever met one of those people, they can meet someone and within like 2 minutes they know their life story and their heart and they've gotten this deep connected relationship and they think that's just normal and how everyone acts, and then you go, wait, no, that's weird. That's a spiritual gift God has given you to connect with people. And so what gifts has God given us, and then for what purpose? So part of this is identifying those gifts and then discerning where is God inviting us to use these gifts. So spiritual gifts are not something we're just good at, but a gift given by the Holy Spirit for a purpose, specifically to be used in ministry. And the next thing to consider and notice is that these are given to fit into the body, into the community. If you look closely at wherever Paul talks about spiritual gifts, we see that they're not just given as an individual thing or to an individual, but always within the context of the faith community. And Paul talks about this as the vast and varied parts of the body, right? He talks about spiritual gifts and our different abilities are like the parts of a body, a hand, an arm, an eye, an ear, a foot, right? And Paul's metaphor is amazing because it makes it so clear that spiritual gifts really don't make sense apart from the whole, apart from the community, right? A foot on its own can do virtually nothing. It makes no sense. But when it's with the body, all of a sudden it has an essential role that the rest of the body can't live without, and it can do the thing it's designed to do, given and designed to fit as a part of the whole, as a part of the community. This is what spiritual gifts are about. And as we think about all of these varied gifts, we have to look back to Jesus, where it starts. When we see Jesus, we see the perfect embodiment of all of these spiritual gifts, right? Think about any of the things Paul listed: wisdom, faith, knowledge, miracles, pastor, apostle. Jesus is the perfection of any one and all of these gifts in one human being. No one else is or ever will be. But together, Paul says, we are the body of Christ. In verse 27 of Corinthians, he says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. That means that the Spirit gives these gifts so that we can become the physical, tangible, real presence of Jesus in the world now. The church is the body of Christ. Not you, not me, but we together. But the struggle is, I think, we human beings have this tendency to forget our need for each other, to forget the need for our differences and distinctions. We have this tendency to want to surround ourselves with people just like us, people who look like, think like, act like we do, because it's comfortable. And that's human nature. That's the way the world works out there. But God, in God's infinite wisdom, has designed the church to be very different. What unites us here is not our sameness, but Jesus, our common mission, the gospel, the good news of God's love for the world in Christ. And in order to live this out and do this work, to share this news with a world that is varied and diverse beyond measure, God brilliantly knows that we need to bring different gifts, different people together into community, into the body, which is so hard to do. But it is the best and most effective way to do ministry, to be the church. Without you and your spiritual gifts, this body is not complete. The church is not complete. We may be different. We may disagree with each other, but we look at Jesus' life and what he did, and we see that he does this in his own circle of disciples, right? He called tax collectors. They were sort of the traitors to their people. They sold out and worked for Rome, collecting taxes from their Jewish sisters and brothers. And then he turned around and called very pious, zealous, law-following fishermen and stuck them together in a small group and said, now you're going to work together forevermore. Do you think they ever got along on anything? Probably not. I bet there were some heated and interesting conversations in those 12 folks. They had different gifts, but together, when they're focusing only on Jesus and the ministry that he called them to do, turns out there was nothing they could not accomplish. And in our gospel reading today, Jesus says something I think is important. I'm going to sidebar for a minute and say, I'm guessing a lot of you might be wondering, gosh, I wonder what Josh is going to do with that crazy parable Jesus told and how he's going to tie that in. And the answer is, I'm not. But the thing he says after as he interprets it, I think is so relevant to what we're talking about. He said this, whoever is faithful with very little is faithful with much. And whoever is dishonest, or one could say untrustworthy, in very little will also be dishonest in much. If you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? Jesus is talking about how he entrusts us with the work of the kingdom. And he expects us to be faithful with these gifts that we've been given and to use them for ministry. And this never ceases to amaze me. God entrusts us with immense responsibility. The God of the universe entrusting me with anything at all is an incredibly overwhelming and humbling thought. And yet that's what God does. That's how God chooses to work in the world. And as I look at Good Shepherd, I see vast and numerous gifts, spiritual gifts, given for the sake of serving God and making a difference in our world. But even as we celebrate and give thanks for the gifts we have, I think it's important to also ask ourselves and keep asking, what gifts might we be missing? Are there gifts the Spirit has given that we don't see here yet? And why is that? Are we undervaluing certain gifts and so they're not coming to the fore? Or maybe some gifts are missing because the people to whom God has given them aren't here yet and they're just waiting to be invited into this life. Or maybe those gifts are missing today because some of us have not fully discovered what they are in ourselves or how to use them. You see, part of the discernment of spiritual gifts is continuing to grow and develop and discover these things. It's a lifelong journey, and that's why I love what Paul says. I'll remind us in Ephesians at the end of that reading today. He says that these spiritual gifts we were given in order to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. It's a continued life of growing and learning, coming into maturity of faith together. So this week, I invite you to reflect on some of these things. What are the spiritual gifts God has given me? How am I stewarding those gifts? Where am I using them? Are there gifts we are missing? How do we discover those gifts here among us so that we can become the fullness of Christ's presence in the world? And if we continue to seek and discover, to ask and develop those spiritual gifts that God is giving to us, to this community, then just like the disciples, there's no limit to what God can do because the Spirit is here. Thanks be to God.